You're listening to The Job, a show of interesting interviews with interesting people, brought to you by Need More Designs. My name is Ray, and this week we're talking to Jane McDonald of App Camp for Girls. Start over. Okay. Still speaking levels. Hi, yeah. Jane.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, fantastic. It's a lovely day here in Portland. So, before we dive into the stuff I really want to talk about, why don't you tell me, just give me a little background, like where did you come from? How did you get into software development?
Sure. Well, I moved to Portland in 1994, 95. My sister had started a software company for multimedia software for children, and my sister Judy, who worked at Hewlett-Packard, had this idea for making arts and crafts type software that you could print out, you design stuff and then print it out on your printer, and the software would come with all the things you needed to make, say a book or magnets or whatever. So back when software was sold in boxes and you went to the store to buy it, and it was a fun startup, and I was living in New York City at the time, working in book publishing, but I was getting a little bit tired of that, and so I decided to come and work with her. And that's when I really started to become a geek. I mean, I was always had geek leanings because I, you know, was interested in, I like math and science and all that, but it was my first really geeky job where I had to learn how to do internet marketing, and this was like 94, 95, so it was kind of make up whatever you want. And one of the problems I had at the company is that I couldn't get people to update the web pages, so mainly the programmers were responsible for that, but they were busy with the software, and so they said, you should just learn how to do this, it's not that hard. And that's when I learned how to do HTML and how to load web pages onto the web. That was definitely a funny part of it because I assumed that must be really hard. Uh-huh. And when somebody showed me, I was like, that's it. That's all you have to do. And then from that moment, I was like, anything I can do myself, I will. And I became a web designer from that point on. The company was sold to Mattel, and I was already taking intensive web design classes, and I became a freelance designer and then a instructor, web design instructor at PNCA here in Portland. And while I was a web designer, that's how one of my clients was a good friend of mine who's a software developer who had started this small Mac software company with another friend called Smile, and they asked me to build their website, and then they asked me could I put together a contest for design for their, they had a first software was called Disc Label, which was for designing and customizing labels for your CDs and DVDs. It's very different, you know. So we eventually the company just grew really fast, and they asked me to come work with them full time. So I was a partner at Smile for 10 years almost, doing all the marketing and community building, et cetera. And that's while I was working at Smile and attending Apple developer conferences and, you know, getting to know a lot of Apple developers is when I started thinking about doing something called App Camp for Girls.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, love Smile software. I still use the PDF pen myself. But so you're talking about at WWDC?
Yes.
Okay. How long ago did you start going there to those events?
I was always in town because Smile would do, you know, some biz dev type things. We threw a party and stuff. In 2010, though, I got to. We finally decided it was worth it to get a ticket for me to go. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible. And I was just, you know, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. I was very excited to be there.
Have you been there enough to notice, has there been any change or in the gender balance in the room? Is that kind of not something you can really even discern at that level?
I haven't discerned it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I first noticed the first time, and really actually the second time I went, when I was a little less starstruck and more like thinking, you know, this is kind of weird that there's no women in, you know, around mm-hmm. me. Like, there were women there, but you know, just a few percentage.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't know that they don't put out those numbers.
Right.
But you know, people joke about this bathroom. You know, the bathroom index. Basically, you know, is there ever a line at the women in the ladies' room?
Okay.
And there never was. But I would see a few more women, like, and you know, but I don't know for a fact. But I have other people have said they feel like it's getting a little bit better, and we'll see this year because this is going to be an interesting year. But
so tell me, what is different this year? Is Apple doing something different to help with that?
They are actually. They just announced it a couple of days ago,
okay.
So it's brand new. They announced, they always have a scholarship program. So, I mean, just for the ticket to WWDC, it's $1,600. So it's not something you just say, hey, maybe I'll go. And nowadays, you can't even get the tickets because there's so many developers mm-hmm. wanting them that I didn't even get one last year. And a lot of people I know didn't get them. So, but students could apply for a scholarship and they would get the ticket, plus they cover their travel. I don't know to what extent, but they'd have a couple hundred students as young as 13, you know, to college. You had to be a part-time or full-time student.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they've expanded the scholarship program. They've added more scholarships, and they also are working with a number of STEM organizations, so you know, related to technology and science and engineering, math organizations, making their volunteers or members eligible to apply for scholarships. So,
okay.
So our volunteers now can apply for a scholarship, which they couldn't have done in the past
okay.
because they weren't students. So
right.
non-students who are involved in one of these. I don't know, it's about 15 organizations, including App Camp for Girls, can apply. And that's a huge deal.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So, okay, let's back up for a second because I kind of got ahead of myself here. Why don't you tell our listeners who aren't familiar with this awesome thing, what is App Camp for Girls?
Sure. App Camp for Girls is a one-week summer program that teaches girls, middle school age girls, the process of software development through creating an iPhone app in 1 week. So we start out with brainstorming how you come up with app ideas. We have design workshops working on interface, user interface, and icon design. We do coding. We don't teach a programming language, you know, in one day. That's not possible. But we, the girls work with the development tools that Apple provides. That all developers who make iPhone apps use Xcode primarily, and working off of a template that we've put together so that they aren't starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's really important to finish an app. A cool app, not just a Hello World app,
mm-hmm.
in that week to get that sense of excitement that, whoa, I could make apps like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very last day of camp, we do a pitch session where the girls pitch their apps. They make presentations and they pitch their apps, you know, their ideas and how they would market them and who their audience is to a panel of women investors and entrepreneurs, and those women, you know, ask them questions, and it's a great way for them to get a little practice presenting, and also to see that women are involved in every step of the process, not just coders and not just designers, they're also the money people
mm-hmm.
As well. So, You know, we want our campers to see that if they're interested in being in software development, something is there for them, and it's not just sitting in a basement in a computer, you know, never seeing the sunlight, which is, I think, a lot of kids' impression of what computer programming is all about.
Yeah, that's what it was in the 80s, but yeah. not anymore. So 2015 will be your third summer?
Yes.
Okay. And this started in Portland, correct?
Right.
But are there there's other places you're doing this now?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So we started in Portland in 2013, you know, because I live here, and also totally coincidentally, Natalie Osten, who's our lead developer, we met at WWDC in San Francisco, and she lives in Portland. And when I found that out, I was like, oh, I need you. I have a project. I need a woman developer. And I was inspired by the Rock and Roll Camp for Girls, which is another Portland, you know, born program. And I've been to camp, rock camp myself as the ladies rock camp. I've been a teacher of guitar and a band manager during the girls rock and roll camp. And I've been on the board as well of Rock Camp for Girls. So I had this model, you know, which was a, you know, very Portland friendly model.
Right.
And then, but we knew that we wanted to bring App Camp for Girls to other locations just based on the demand that people just everywhere have asked, like, how can we have this in our town? So last summer we opened our first non-Portland camp, and that was in Seattle. We worked with some volunteers who had come down to Portland to volunteer for the first camp, so they had already been through the process, and they work for the Omni Group in Seattle. And we, you know, used it as our test case of, like, how, what do we need to do to be able to empower another group to put on App Camp for Girls. Because there is a lot. I mean, Rock Camp is a little easier because rock and roll is a lot more flexible, I would say, than software programming.
Right.
But, you know, we have equipment, we have, you know, curriculum, we have, you know, to get what we want to get done by the end of the week requires a little, you know, more organization and precision than Rock Camp. But the Seattle camp went off really well. It was great, and we learned a lot about what we had forgotten to tell them, you know, during the week, and what we needed to do much better documentation of what's in the curriculum, what's in the program, how it needs to run. And so that's what we put our efforts to. And since last summer, we have, you know, now an official handbook, you know, 50-page handbook of what you need to do to run App Camp. And we have sample schedules and budgets and all the stuff that you need to know. And we call that App Camp Kit, which is like a software development kit, but it's for App Camp. And we, you know, we're still refining that, but we did We did an orientation weekend here in Portland with our out-of-town council, the organizers from the other camps. This summer we'll also have a camp in Vancouver, B.C. So we're also learning about Canada, which is interesting. So we're international, and we are very excited about the Vancouver location. We have a great team there. Also started by one of my friends from Rock Camp. So
okay. So let's take the Portland camp as an example. Like, how many students go through there in a summer? Like, how many camps do you do, or how many?
Sure. We do. Right now, we're doing two sessions of 12 girls each.
Okay.
So, so it's a small group. It's very labor and hardware intensive. So we have one, what we call project team managers, who are essentially the counselors of App Camp, are have a group of four girls. So for those 12 girls, we have three project team managers who are full-time volunteers who are software savvy. They're not necessarily iPhone developers, but they are willing to learn what we're teaching the girls before we teach it to them, or sometimes as we're teaching it to them.
Right.
So we've had women who are WordPress developers and Rails developers, or software technical support, QA people have all been App Camp volunteers. And so we'd like to increase the size, but right now we've focused on getting the program right and making sure we have the curriculum pretty well nailed down. And I think that will become a focus in 2016, is increasing the size of the camps or increasing the number of sessions.
Have you had a lot of demand for those spaces? Is it
hard? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We don't do a huge amount of PR to get campers to sign up, because we don't have enough, you know, capacity for everybody that would want to come. We always have a wait list. We always have more girls interested in coming than we have spaces for. I'd like to do more outreach to schools and organizations that aren't, you know, as tied into the high-tech world as our campers tend to be, you know, children of engineers and other professionals. I think that, you know, what it motivated me in the first place was that I think girls could get really excited about this if they knew what it was, if they could see it wasn't rocket science, and that they could do it, that they didn't need to be some super brainy nerd to be a software developer.
Right.
And I'd like to reach more girls who have never even thought about doing that. So, by expanding the camp, we could do more efforts like with schools and say, try to recruit more campers, which we aren't doing now.
Okay. For the, it seems to me that one big concern would just be getting the equipment to develop on, you know, all those computers. And are those just sort of like loaned to you for like 2 weeks a year, or is this, or do you guys actually have to own all that equipment?
Well, the first summer we did go with loaners because, you know, friends of mine said, oh, I have here a MacBook Pro. We use laptops. We don't use the iMac or bigger computers, because in many cases, like here in Portland, we do the camp at Tabor Space. We can't just leave all our equipment there every night. So we have to be able to move it in and out every day.
I see.
It worked okay with the loaners, but we knew we wanted to have our own equipment because it takes a lot to set up the Macs to work for what we're doing. So Xcode has to be installed. We have to tie that Xcode in with our Apple developer account in this harrowing experience known as provisioning, so that we can run the apps on the device without, you know, if you want to run an app on your own device, you know, a beta version of your app without going through the App Store, you have to set it up, and it's very finicky process. And once you have it set up, you don't want anybody to touch any of your settings. So, and we also wanted all the girls to have the same computers, so it didn't really matter which one you were on. So last year we bought a set of MacBook Pro, 15-inch MacBook Pro, and that worked out really well. We have one computer for every two girls. We don't even want them to each have their own computer. We don't want them to get sucked in and lose the social and collaborative aspects of camp.
Okay.
And I think if they each had their own computers, they would lose out on what's makes App Camp unique.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, I mean, it sounds to me like that is a big part of it that I would not, I guess I wouldn't have expected. Is, you know, I always, maybe it goes back to the whole in the basement writing software, but But it's kind of like, it's almost like they're sort of learning about pair programming or something
right.
like that. Just
exactly.
kind of the nature, doing it as a social. So how many app, like, does a pair of students develop one app or several apps, or what's the goal there?
Well, they work as a team of four.
Okay.
And so generally what happens is the at least one or two in the team are more interested in working on the icon, you know, or the interface, and one or two are more interested in seeing how far they can push the programming. But they all collaborate equally. The template that we developed for them to build an app with is it's a personality quiz, basically. So there's it's set up for them to build five questions, four answers, four mm-hmm. results. So there's a lot of content that they create during that couple of days where they work on that app. On the first day, they do a Hello World app, and they also do a calculator with four functions. So they each write the code for a function, you know, plus addition, subtraction, etc. But they spend most of their time at the computer working on the quiz app, and they just come up with some really fun and creative stuff and weirdly accurate results. So that's been pretty great. And then they present their quizzes, you know, at the end mm-hmm. of the week. But yeah, we want them to be a team, you know, of four, like, and work together and learn how to, you know, help each other out. We have a rule, you know, for the volunteers is that we don't touch the computers, and so we show them, we do a little bit of demo time with the projector, but we coach them through it, and then that they teach each other. And now that we've been around long enough where we have interns, so coming back from previous camps, the interns can help with that too. And so it's not like a programming course where mm-hmm. somebody does something up at the front and everybody has to do what that person is doing at right. the same time.
Is there like a moment that you found where the kind of this light bulb goes off, you know, because I imagine at first there's sort of, you just got to get your head around how all these pieces fit together. Is there like Thursday afternoon, all these light bulbs go off where it's just like, this is awesome. Is there like a certain point where you feel like, okay, we have, everyone's really excited now? Or does it just kind of start by the end of the first day?
They're very excited to have a calculator. You know, it's not okay. like a calculator like what you would expect, you know. Because then we, you know, to the extent they have the time, they finish fast enough, they can play around with, like, the colors. They can add more functions. We tell, you know, if they're really interested, we show them all how to find all the math functions that are built in, you know, okay. to the code. And then they have that calculator they can take home because we give them, for the week, an iPod Touch.
Okay.
Each girl has an iPod Touch. So we build the apps that they do on the Mac get built on, you know, like transferred to that iPod Touch, and so that they have that in their hand, that feeling of like, wow, I made that, and they can show other people.
Mm-hmm.
So they take it home and show their family and show their friends, and they can be, you know, we get email from the parents on that first night. We've gotten
okay.
saying like, wow, they're so excited, you know, and that's cool. But one of my favorite light bulb moments was when we, it was during the first camp. I wasn't expecting this at all. As we had this final pitch session, I was also giving out like little gifts and stuff that, you know, people had donated, swag and whatever. And one of the things was the Big Nerd Ranch guide to Objective-C, which mm-hmm. is the language for writing iPhone apps. And it's like a big, thick, you know, programming book. It's a great book. I've used it myself. And we did not give them that book until like the very end that afternoon. And I said that, you know, I announced, and you're also all getting a copy of this book, you know, and I say Objective-C programming from Big Nerd Ranch, and they clapped. They were excited. And it's, to me, like on day one, this book would have looked like, oh, please do not give me, you know. And at the end of the week, they, even though they hadn't learned Objective-C and nobody ever, you know, would have claimed that, yes, you could learn this in a week. But they knew what it was. They knew how it was the building blocks of the apps that they built, and that if they wanted to learn it now, all they had to do is take this book and learn it themselves, teach themselves, because a lot of programming is self-taught.
Tell me about it.
Yes.
And that is a really cool story. That is a great book. Do you think that do you ever foresee like doing a season two or level two? Have you thought about that for maybe where there was some, at least some Swift or something like that?
Well, we're going to transition to Swift no matter what. I mean, Objective-C is definitely going to be deprecated, and we'll. But yeah, I would like to do more that, you know, keeps the girls involved, that who are interested, you know, and to keep them, keep their hand in programming and continue to be mentored by women, you know, developers. We're tossing around some ideas of how that could work, you know, maybe a high school program, because the girls that come to App Camp are now, they're girls who are going into eighth or ninth grade. So we tried to get them before they go to high school. And it would be nice to do something at the high school level for the girls, you know, who want to do it, whether they've been at App Camp or not. But right now, no, we don't have anything like that. And I wish we had stuff for younger girls, too. I get a lot of email from parents who are like, really, can't my, like, totally, you know, brilliant 10-year-old come? And I feel bad, but then I realize, well, we only have so many spots, and we're really trying to get a certain age group, you know. And but having, I think we could go younger too.
I'm just putting this out there. I have a 6-year-old daughter, and I have a 2-year-old daughter, and I think they'd make great developers. So if you ever do anything for 2-year-olds,
I know, you know.
There are apps that I've played around with for the 6-year-old on an iPad where you can kind of, it's kind of like a, you know, almost like an Erector set or something like that meets programming kind of, and they're interesting, but I was definitely struck by what you were saying about the social aspect of it, where it's kind of like, I think that Zoe would be a lot more excited by it if there was someone else who was doing this alongside her, you know, talking to her about it. That's really interesting. So what are the next steps here? Do you see some other cities in the future here? You've been...
Both Vancouver and Seattle are being run by women who came and volunteered in Portland. So we have some women coming from out of town to volunteer this summer. And that would be my hope, is that, and that, you know, they're coming with the intention of considering, you know, launching App Camp where they are. And we're looking for another Canadian volunteer to come to Vancouver, you know, so they could launch App Camp in another Canadian city as well.
Okay.
Since we are going to be an official Canadian nonprofit as well, we might as well start.
Right, go with all that effort.
Yeah. Plus, we like Canada, right? And I mean, we don't have a specific number, but I mean, we're 3 locations now. I could see having 6 locations in 2016. Mm-hmm. Now that we have a lot of that documentation,
right?
You know, we have more volunteers. I have more people now. I could say, why don't you go, you know, to this town and, you know, help them get that one started, you know, because when it was just my tiny group here in Portland, you know, we there's only so much we could do. But mm-hmm. now there's quite a few women involved who, you know, say somebody from Seattle could go and help out the team in who knows where, Austin, mm-hmm. for, you know, to 'cause we have been going to the first camp, you know, making sure that we're there to help them if they need us, but not trying not to take over mm-hmm. and just run it ourselves, because that's not the model.
Mm-hmm. I know it's hard to judge after that week is over, probably, you know, mm-hmm. What happens, since it's just a 1 week engagement, and you know, it's still, what you're doing is still small. But have people reached out to you from other academia, from other universities or anything, to talk about their curriculum or how they might involve something like this, or?
Well, yeah, we do get, there's a lot of, people interested in this, you know, area now, and around the same time as App Camp, several other similarly targeted organizations have and so we have talked about, are there ways to collaborate? This year, I've never been before, but this year I'm going to go to the Grace Hopper conference, which is the biggest women in technology conference, you know, like 8,000 women. I'm looking forward to that for that very reason. That mm-hmm. I feel like we're ready to, like, you know, get some sort of figure out where we fit in the big picture and help other people, and I'll have other people help us, you know, to so that we aren't all siloed, because there, you know, tends to be that way right now, mm-hmm. that these various organizations have started something, but. You know, we could take more advantage of each other's resources. There's not that many people doing Apple-oriented education, you know, mm-hmm. at least at this age group level. So we could help, you know, another organization that's been focused on Android or whatever, mm-hmm. web design, whatever, mm-hmm. say, like, how about we help you, you know, put on an iOS development, you know, week, and we'll, you know, maybe we'll lend you our equipment, we'll lend you our iPod touches, and or we'll lend you our developer, and I think that would be pretty interesting, because I do feel like educators feel like Mac and Apple, you know, is like a high, there's a steep, it's not really a learning curve, it's a money curve, because the equipment is expensive.
Yeah.
And it's not perceived as being open. So, you know, an Android is, but, you know, from an app-making point of view, Apple provides the development tools for free.
Yeah.
You can join the developer program for free. If you want to be able to build stuff to your own device, you have to have a paid account, but that's only $99 a year. It's not like app, you know. So I think between the equipment and all that, like, feeling of, like, how do you run the apps, you know, because the app store is a closed ecosystem.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to make it, you know, it is hard. It's not the easiest thing to do, for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's worth doing. And kids love iPhones. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I don't care, you know, what marketing you can see from any of the non-iPhone smartphones. But if you put iPhone and anything else in front of a kid and say you can have one, I think that the iPhone's going to win most of the time.
Did you just see, there's just a video going around of, like, the latest Samsung and iPhone, they were giving it to kids and mm-hmm. asking them for their thoughts. And obviously, you know, kids just think that the Apple ones are cool. Yeah, that does help.
Yeah, and I think it just engages them, you know, that in a way that they're doing something that they also know is I mean, they recognize the Apple brand. Mm-hmm. You know, even kids know that it has a certain quality that they would, you know. I mean, and I'm not saying that I'm necessarily in favor of marketing to children, but I'm just working with what we have, and what we have is kids like iPhones.
You know, I read that that essay you wrote on iMore.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was, and I just wanted, I kind of wanted to end on this note, because I thought that was really interesting how you drew a comparison to women in sports in school. Could you briefly summarize that for me? The thing about Title IX that you were talking about?
Sure. So the piece was called Why I'm Optimistic About Gender Equality in Technology. And my point was that when I was a teenager, and I think, you know, I was in school in the 70s, girls just didn't participate in sports, which is hard for people to believe now. But it was really true. I mean, there were some things, and there was gymnastics and swimming and things like that, but I didn't know any girls who played soccer. And I definitely didn't know any that played basketball. Title IX came out when I was in high school, and the basic rule of it was you have to spend the same amount of money on girls' activities, not just sports, but girls' sports teams as you do on boys, with few exceptions. And I myself, as a kid, thought, I don't see how that's going to work, because girls don't want to play those sports. You know, I really just didn't think that they did. And obviously, I was wrong about that. There's more than a few girls playing basketball and soccer. And the number of girls that, you know, play high school athletics now, just like, I don't know, it multiplied like 20 times over the same period, where boys went up, you know, maybe like 10% or 20%. Girls went up like 1,000%. So, but people at the time said, well, that's so artificial. You know, if girls wanted to do this, and even me as a girl who wasn't like anti-feminist, I just thought it doesn't sound very practical, but we hear this a lot in the technology field, which is that girls aren't interested. You know, we can't have like special programs for girls, because that's not, you know, we want to have the best programmers. We want to have the it's the meritocracy, and we're not discriminating. It's just that girls don't want to do this. You know, that you hear that a lot. And it's just not true. I know, because I know about the whole sports thing, and I was wrong about that as a teenager. And I now, when somebody says that to me today, I go, let me tell you about Title IX.
Yeah.
You obviously don't know the facts.
Right.
So
I think, you know, it's sometimes just hard to picture that, but it's easier if you're the person who's making that change. And then you can see, you think about it, and you can see exactly how it's going to change. And, you know, kudos to you for doing that.
Well, it is one of the advantages of getting older, is that you actually see things change for the better. You can point and say, no, it really will change, I can guarantee you.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Jean McDonald, thank you so much for being on The Job. And where can people find out more about App Camp for Girls and what you're doing?
The website is at appcampforgirls.com, which is App Camp, the number four girls, appcampforgirls.com, although it will work in even if you spell out four, of course, because I'm a web designer. I think of these things.
Thought about that, yeah.
There's contact info there. I spend a lot of time on Twitter. My Twitter handle is MacGenie, which is MacGenie at Twitter. So, and that's a good place. Actually, a good place to reach me. So I'm happy to hear from folks, and any feedback about App Camp or volunteers, can, if you go on the website, there's a place where you can fill out a form to you know, tell us about your interest in volunteering at App Camp.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.